on Sunday afternoons, we embarked upon this English Bible. How did it get here? And we want to deal with that subject. We can know some things and learn things about how the Lord has blessed to bring the Scripture in English to us. The Lord is good on His promises, and by His Word, by His Son, and through His Word, He's spoken unto us. That's the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ is called, one of His names is the Word. The Word of God is very, very important, and the Lord has been so good in bringing it unto us. You and I, no doubt, everybody that's of age in the house has more than one Bible. And over the course of your life, you've probably had several Bibles. Then we have it electronically. We've got it on our computer. Have all kinds of helps and such as that. I mean, we've got the Bible just everywhere. We don't have to go anywhere and be without the Bible. It's not that way in other countries. As we recently looked to help Brother Volandry, a great desire. Brother Johnson writes about it too, and Brother Brown's class that he has for teaching the brethren, the nationals there in Thailand, to teach them the Word of God. Many of them don't have an entire Bible. They just got pieces and parts. Or they don't have one that's their own. They borrow or share. And you and I, we've been blessed greatly. We've been blessed greatly. Like I said, we can have one here with us. We have one in the car. We can have one on our phone. Have one in every room in the house. And so we need to, that being the case with us, we need to avail ourselves of the Word of God that He's given to us and know it and learn it and make it a part of us. We took a look at last time about how the Lord, His Word has been spoken by Him. As I speak to you this afternoon, I'm breathing. I have to breathe. I can't speak unless I breathe. That's the Lord's design of the body. Well, our Lord has breathed. He has breathed His Word. And He has spoken some of it to the brethren that write it down. But He has also impressed them, worked in them, moved with His Spirit in them to bring us the Word of God. Not disassociating them from their manner and way and character, the person that they are, their mannerisms, their way of speaking, but using them and by the Spirit of God inspired. I think about that inspiring. The Lord breathes in them spiritually, and they have spoken and have written. You can have an inspired burner. And what I went to college for and studied in the non-metal manufacturing processes, so everything that's not metal and plastic is ceramic, all different kinds of aspects of that. And part of what we were trained in is how to build kilns and furnaces that would be fired by gas, typically natural gas, propane, butane. And you have different kinds of burners. You got an aspiration burner, you got an inspiration burner. And that inspiration burner is the air is pushed through it and it sucks the gas in. And that's what the Lord has done. He's spoken through His men, 40 men over the course of 1,600 years, to bring His Word. And we are blessed indeed. So His Word has been spoken by Him. It is God-breathed. And so anytime that you and I open up the Scripture, we know that that's what the Lord has said, the account that the Lord wants us to have that is true, that is steadfast, that is eternal. And it's His Word and account that we need, that you and I need. There's nothing extra in here. There's not part of it that applies and part of it that we don't have to worry about. It's all here for us. We've got every bit that we need, and we have it here in the Bible. What we want to take a look at this afternoon first is that the Lord's Word is pure. It is pure and true. A fine psalm that speaks about the Word of God. Do you know what this psalm is? It's one that we all as the children of God need to become acquainted with. We're going to talk about the Word of God. We're going to do it with a psalm. In a psalm, using a psalm, what psalm would it be? Well, Psalm 119. And this psalm we understand, and it's relayed to us in English, and sometimes things in the translation, some things get left behind because it's going away from the original language. Again, in its translation, we have everything that we need as English-speaking people. But this psalm goes through the Hebrew alphabet, and it's alliterated that way, if we understand it correctly. And so the beginnings of the words and the sentences are using those letters. We don't see that in English. But the truth that is spoken here tells us things that we need to know about the Lord's Word. In Psalm 119, 140, what's the scripture say here? Psalm 119, verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Purity. You know, with purity, you don't have to worry about cutting out the bad stuff. You don't have to worry about that one ingredient or two or three in there that might cause you trouble. And you got to take that and part that off. Sometimes with cheese, they tell me that good cheese sometimes will have mold on it. But who wants to eat the mold? Well, you got to cut that off. You got to trim that off. Not so with the Word of God. It is pure. It stands alone. It is divine. It's divine because of the one that has spoken it. And listen to what, and may the Lord help us as the psalmist writes, thy word is very pure, and because of that, therefore thy servant loveth it. I love your word because it is pure. The word of God in this purity, that we don't have to worry about the Lord tricking us with his word, do we? We don't have to worry about the Lord telling us something that is false, intermingled with the truth. You know, there are gods that are that way. Sorry about that. Let's just go to this microphone, Miranda. So-called gods, gods of men, it's testified indeed that they might be tricking you. They might be tricking those that follow them. Not God. The Lord doesn't do that. God Almighty, Jehovah God, He the Almighty, the great self-existent one, He gives a very pure word. You can hang your eternity on His word. You and I can do so. Here in the same chapter, we see in verse number 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. True from the beginning. Psalm 119, verse 160. When the Lord started speaking in that which we have heard through the Scripture, He always has spoken truth. We don't have to go down so many hundred years, and we know from that point on, the Lord was telling the truth. But from the beginning, He's been telling the truth. It's true. His word is pure and it's true. And again, we can hang our eternity upon Him and what He has said. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. The Lord has made some judgments about things. And when I think about the judgments of the Lord, the one that comes to mind pretty much first and foremost is the judgment that He made at Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord made a statement with Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Thousands of years ago, He made a statement that the wickedness that was being done there was wicked and perverse and abominable in His sight. That's a judgment. And we've got folks today that say, oh, well, God, being so loving as He is, He loves the sodomite in his sodomy. He loves the lesbian in their lesbianism. We can have a relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ and still be involved in this sin. No, cannot. Now, the Lord saves sodomites, and he saves lesbians. He saves the perverse, but he saves them out of those things because he made a judgment regarding such, and it is wicked and abominable always in his sight. The Lord made judgments about other things too in the scripture. And you know what? They endure forever. It's what God believes and what he's acted on. And he's not going to change his mind. We might think, mankind might think God is going to change his mind, but he's not going to change his mind. It's settled. And what God says is pure, and what God has established and said is true from the beginning, and all of his judgments endure forever. We come back to Psalm 12. This is interesting. If you've had to do with, I've worked with some companies that did some die casting, and maybe some have worked around or studied about the refining of metal, and so this it gives us a picture about the Word of God. In Psalm 12, verse number 6, the words of the Lord, of Jehovah God, are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth. So there's this furnace that has been built with stone, with elements of the ground, with dirt, with refractory material, so it would be able to stand the heat that needs to be manufactured and generated in this to take and refine silver. We're going to take silver and gather it up, whether the ore from the ground or silver artifacts that are going to be taken. And this silver is going to be taken and it's going to be refined. It's going to be purified. And so the furnace is built and great care is to put that together. The fuel is collected and started off in there to get it to the temperature to be able to take that silver and melt it down. And you know what happens when you melt down a metal and maybe even put additive in there to take and pull off the impurities? The dross is skimmed off the top. And you take the dross and you throw that away. And so this silver, the value of this silver, if you started off with just say $100 worth of silver by weight at whatever it was worth, as you take it and you refine it once and pull off the dross, and then you refine it again and you pull off the dross, there's less and less dross that's being pulled off. You know, that $100 worth of silver is now increasing in value. There's less of it per weight, but it's coming, it's being brought to a great refined point that makes it to where it compares with only silver that has been refined that much. And so in that dross, you can't help but get the dross and a little bit of silver with it, and that total weight is being brought lower and lower and lower, but the refining of it, the purity of it, one time, two times, three times might be good enough for the silversmith at Ephesus. Four times, five times, six times. You know, you might only be left with four-fifths of what you started off with. But it's been purified seven times. Evidently, that was a high mark that was known by refiners. Purified seven times? Really? Purified that much? Yeah, this has been. Run through each cycle of the purification, maybe to where there's just very, very little dross on the seventh time. The words of the Lord are pure words in a way that we can understand, just like silver refined in a furnace of earth seven times. Where those that deal in silver would say, whoa. That fine? that refined. Now, we know that the Word of God is more pure than that, of anything that man could touch. But just taking it to the extreme of what you and I can understand, that is the purity of the Lord's Word. The Word of a man, the Word of man could never stand up to that, could it? That's the reason that we need to believe God. Not mankind. Not the philosophy of man. Not the way of man. Not the words of Satan. You know, that's what Satan did when he came and possessed the snake and came down and tempted woman, wasn't it? He cast doubt on the pure Word of God. But we found out that what God said, he meant, didn't he? He meant, don't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it smells like, no matter what, how the appeal would be, he meant what he said. And of course, her and Adam's, her husband, our father, his disobedience put us into the situation that we're in today in sin. It's done that to us. It's done that to our forebears. It's done that to our children. The Word of God is pure. He means what he says, and it can be counted on. Another aspect of the Word of God, we go back to Psalm 119, is it is been spoken, his word has been spoken by the eternal God. God has created time, and time is at the Lord's footstool. The earth is likened to that, and I enjoy that image of the earth being the Lord's footstool. It tells us about the greatness of the Lord. Now, does the Lord put his feet on the earth? Probably not. Could he? Yes. but it gives us an understanding. You know, the ottoman, the footstool that you have at home, you know, you buy it, you bring it in, look, the ladies are looking for it to match good and everything. But then after that, do you really think much about it? No. No, I mean, it's there. You might say, hey, go get that, so, or pull that over here so we can lay this out or put my feet up on it to rest. That's the way the earth is. God, who has never experienced any effect of time other than the Lord Jesus Christ becoming a man. And so he has in the person of the Son, hadn't he? But God is eternal. He has always been and always will be. And so the words that have come from our eternal God, they are forever too. If he is forever, so is what he has said. In Psalm 119, verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled. You know, there's not a committee in heaven to say, these words that you have spoken, Lord, we don't advise those. You might consider an amendment or a modification to what you have said. It'll go over better, or it'll be received better. The Lord doesn't do anything by committee, does he? Well, he says it, it's done. He says it, it's eternal, it's settled. You know, and for we that he's saved, that brings us great comfort, doesn't it? If he has said he has saved you and me, we are saved forever. And that's what the call of the Lord is about unto sinners. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, he teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount and otherwise in the Gospels, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's given a time for those things that are not pleasing to him and those things not according to his design to run in the rope and the wickedness, the depravity of man. But one day, his will, as it is in heaven, it'll be settled on earth too, won't it? And everything that the Lord has purposed and planned to do, he is bringing to pass. And one day it will be seen by all that are alive in the millennial reign when Jesus comes and reigns. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There's no changing it. No going against it. Remember, our Lord created this earth and all that is therein, except you and me, by the power of his word. He formed our father Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils a breath of life, and he became a living soul. And he did that with things that he spoke into existence. His word settled. Global warming, global cooling, climate change. What do you think? Our Lord has said the seasons are going to come about until he brings this age to an end.
Right.
It's settled. He did what he did in the creation, and he told what he told to Noah, and it's going to keep right on going until he brings it to an end, until he burns it up. In Isaiah chapter 40, Brother Isaiah testifies of something regarding the eternalness and a picture for us about the eternalness of our Lord's word. In Isaiah 40, verse number 8, speaking about Brother John and Brother John the Baptist, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness in this chapter, and the comfort that will be into Israel, the coming of the Messiah and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this, he says in verse number 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth. I don't know if you've been outside, maybe in your flower beds, ladies, or noticed in there what's going on. Things are getting ready to bud forth. They're getting ready to sprout up. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. It's going to come up in the spring and the summer, but we know in time it all will die. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. He said it, it's going to stand. It's not like the seasons and those things that grow that'll come out and they'll bud up forth and come out and the flowers will spring forth. We'll start seeing here not too long some different particular type of flowers that'll spring up and bud up. They'll be in rows. I can't remember what they're called, little yellow flowers that come out with a yellow bloom on them and that. It's pleasant. I tell you what, it's refreshing to see that greenery, isn't it? The wheat will start showing up here before long. And that little dash of green, it gives us encouragement for the spring and the summer. But it doesn't last, does it? It's going to fade away. But not the Lord's word. Our Lord's word is not like the grass and the flower that fades. But it stands forever. It stands in the spring. It stands in the summer. It stands in the winter. It stands in the fall. It stands forever. And then the Lord Jesus, and on the Sermon on the Mount, he brought something forth about the Word of God that does us well. And here the Lord Jesus confirms for us the Son of God, the Savior of men, the Creator, the Judge, the Redeemer, the salvation of Israel and the salvation of the Gentiles. He says in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, he says here in verse number 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Matthew 5:17. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So he came to fulfill. That reference to the law and the prophets is to the Old Testament scriptures. I came to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now that's a statement. And to my knowledge, in the English, in the writing of English, we don't have a jot and a tittle. We've got a tilde for some other languages. We don't use that in English. And we've got periods and semicolons and the colons and apostrophes and quotes and other quotes and brackets and all the kind of things that we use. But that jot and that tittle is a reference to the scripture in the Hebrew. And the Lord makes a point here. He says, even the punctuation is going to be fulfilled because it's eternal. There's no changing it, even though men would try to change it. Men would rest against the Word of God. He said, it's all going to, not a bit of it's going to pass. It'll all be fulfilled. And the thing is, one of the wondrous things about the Lord Jesus Christ becoming a man and being the Savior for men, women, boys, and girls, is that what we could not fulfill of it, He did. He has done so as a man. Not as the Spirit of God coming to the earth, but He became a person just like you and me. Not the same Father, but certainly identifying with us through His mother. And He fulfilled it. And not only did He fulfill it, but He takes that and He takes it in this Bible word that is there, and we don't use it in our vernacular, we don't use it in our language, but He is able to take, by virtue of saving us, He's able to take that and impute that to us. He has laid that to our account. To where before the Father, and judicially, through Him, we have too. We have His righteousness. And thereby, we are justified before God. We're made as if we've never sinned. Oh, what a wondrous Savior. He did fulfill it all, even to the punctuation. He said, it's not going to pass. Not one jot, not one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Then the Lord Jesus tells us this. He's speaking there about the Old Testament scriptures and what He's fulfilled. But we come over to Luke chapter 21, and we see here about what the God-man says about what He has said. Again, that reference in Hebrew, it's been brought up a lot recently, how it is that through the old time, the prophets were used by the Lord. The fathers was used by the Lord to speak unto us. He used them, Hebrews chapter 1. But in these last days, it's spoken to us by His Son. Listen to what Jesus says about His own word in Luke chapter 21, verse number 33. Heaven shall pass away, and it will. It'll burn up with a fervent heat, Peter tells us. The earth will pass away. It will burn up with a fervent heat. All right, Luke 21. Luke 21, verse number 33. But My words shall not pass away. Now that's what the God-man says. And in light of what we see there in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, His word's not going to pass away either. We ought to be very attentive to what He has said. Very, very attentive, because it's not going to pass away. It is eternal. His words are eternal. And you know what? If you're here and you're not saved, you know what one of the first things that is recorded that Jesus has said in the beginning of His ministry? He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is coming up there close to you, closer than it ever has before. Repent and believe the gospel. Those words are not going to pass away. But they are eternal words. And then Brother Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, the word of God is pure and it's true. The Word of God is eternal. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, God the Son, come in the flesh, His words will abide forever and not pass away. And then Brother Peter tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 25, and he's quoting Brother Isaiah here, but it's a a reaffirmation. Let's back up to verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. He remembers about what Brother Isaiah said. And the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. I remember Brother Orville. He would, and I've said this here, but I remember as he would bring devotion there at Independence before Sunday school for years and years and years. He's the one that I first heard say this, that he said, you can take the truth and you can stomp it. You can fold it. You can spindle it. You can mutilate it. You can kick it. You can do whatever you want to it, and it'll still be the truth. Never change. Never changes. You can lie on it. You can malign it. You can blaspheme against it. It'll always be the truth. And the word of the Lord endureth forever. It is pure. It is true. It is eternal. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. It's the very word that has brought us salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of words given by men telling us how good we are, how great we are, how able we are. We've been told a lot about us being able to make it through the virus by our own sheer will, grit, and determination. I'll tell you what, the only way we can make it anywhere is by what God has said.
Amen.
And with His help, and with His provision, His protection, and His grace and mercy and help and love for us. By what He has said. And so may the Lord help us that we be reaffirmed and shored up in these things about the Word of God. You know, it's important for us to know and be reaffirmed that God has spoken His Word. It's God breathed. You know, it's not a sideline with the Lord. You know, the Lord just didn't do this as a sideline or a hobby. This is His work amongst us. He's given His Word. And His Word is pure and it's true. And His Word is eternal. We're going to stop right there for this afternoon. Lord willing, next time we're going to have yet reaffirmed. I mean, if it doesn't, we do understand that we need the Lord's Word. But we want to take a look at passages that help us, again, to have that reaffirmed for us that we do need what He has said. He has spoken, and we need that. And there's aspects of that that we need reminded about.